Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And because our computer is still on the fritz, and I like recording outside, so I'm doing just that. You're going to hear outside noises. And that being said, let's see how long in this recording it takes for another train to go by or I get interrupted some way, somehow. And in this episode, we're going to talk about Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's right, I just got in seeing this movie. This movie came out over 5 years after Ghostbusters 2016. That particular movie, Ghostbusters 2016, in many eyes, it has become the prime example of go woke, go broke. To hear our view of Ghostbusters 2016, whether it's our Big Candace review or my review with former co-host Zombie Bunny, please go to our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and go hear that review. Though both my co-host Big Candy and Zombie Bunny both enjoyed the film, I did not at that time. Again, to hear those reviews, go to our website again at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com and find those episodes to download and listen to, because of the outlets such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify do not have these available to download. Whether or not I choose to release them as a retrospective over the next couple of days or weeks, I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll talk it over with my co-host, Big Candy, whether or not it is a good idea or not. And again, because he might be listening to this, Big Candy, if you want to record your own review of Ghostbusters Afterlife, if you've seen it, feel free to do so. Send me the MP3 file, and I'll be happy to release it as a standalone episode for all to listen to, because I'll be excited to hear your thoughts on this movie. But for now, this is my thoughts about it and everything in regards to it. Let me just say this. Did I enjoy the movie? Yes, I did. Before I go into this movie, let me just say this in regards to it. Spoilers, because I'll be talking about this movie and there may or may not be spoilers in this review. Spoilers, 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 freaking spoilers. Go see the movie. I liked it. Fair and simple. Before we go into further details and review of this, go see the movie. That way you're not spoiled and everything else. Because I will not talk, not go any further without saying spoilers. That's right, spoilers. Again, did I enjoy it? I love, this is the Ghostbusters movie we should have had in 2016. Everything about it, Reitman's son did a wonderful job in regards to this. Everything fit well. It was the aspect of, this movie is more of a direct sequel to the first movie than the sequel was. So you could, watching Ghostbusters Afterlife does not require you to actually watching the second movie, Ghostbusters 2, or the cartoon, but watching the first Ghostbusters helps you understand this movie a little bit more, and it's everything that's talked about in this movie in regards to backstory, in regards to the original Ghostbusters, makes it seem like it is more of a direct sequel than the Ghostbusters 2, or even the video game, which many fans and it depends on who you talk to. Many people, I think even Dan Aykroyd has stated that the sequel is actually a sequel to the first one, and the video game is technically the quote-unquote third movie. But all in all, this is Ghostbusters Afterlife kind of removes those two out of the equation, and or I will say successfully removes those two out of the equation, along with the cartoon, and out of the equation, and promptly asserts it into the equation. Now there are many Easter eggs in this. Like one thing came out showing a bunch of photos that were on the wall. I didn't notice that in any point. I might have went to the bathroom at that point and missed it. I can't wait to for this to come out on home release in digital format or DVD Blu-ray, so I could pause it and see it. But one of the stills that was released of the wall containing photographs shows the wide range of Ghostbusters from the cartoon. Both, in essence, I think the photo showed pictures of not just the original Ghostbusters of Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, and Harold Ramis, but it had the cartoon versions up there, and it had not just the real Ghostbusters, but it had like pretty much all the Ghostbusters that there ever was as a Easter egg for everybody to enjoy. It left out the Ghostbusters 2016 crew, and a lot of people were complaining about this. The ones that seemingly, I don't know why, loved that movie. I mean, I think the original cast was the ones that were really complaining. Hey, we weren't in that photo. Well, let me just say this. Y'all weren't, things came out and y'all pretty much said that wasn't part of the original Ghostbusters universe. So, therefore, though you paid homage to Harold Ramis at that time in a kind of off way, you didn't, nothing said it was part of that universe. Not that Ghostbusters 2016 was a franchise Ghostbusters unit or anything else. Just that it was in its own separate universe. So therefore, it didn't count. That's my opinion. That's my opinion on it. You guys said, hey, we're a whole complete universe in regards to Ghostbusters. Therefore, that's why you didn't have any photos in this universe. This one, in a way, again, takes place in maybe an alternate universe, in a way that the sequel and the cartoon series did not take place, but they, again, wonderfully homage to it. And to go into a little bit, there are, let me say this, there are two after credit scenes in this. One that kind of is almost a mid-credit scene. Another one is at the very tail end. The first credit scene is when you first see Sigourney Weaver's character, Dana Barrett, I think her name was in the original movie, with Bill Murray doing kind of playing homage to the psychic test in regards to using the flashcards. And the second one is with Ernie Hudson's character, Winston, and Amy Potts' character, in regards to she kind of visits Winston, and she asks about, you know, the ghost, but, you know, all that, and it's a wonderful tribute, and how he says, well, they, you know, how he explains that, how Ray was the heart, Egon was the brains, Peter kept everybody cool, and he brought the sex appeal, and he said, and they kind of explain, he kind of explains that when he came in, basically, to sum it up, he kind of explains that I was just a chump looking for a job. And because working for the Ghostbusters, they gave him not only the tools and the talent, kind of paying homage to that first movie, they gave me the courage, in essence, to do what I did doing now. To start with one, you know, after everything kind of fell apart, to do what I'm doing now and to be a successful businessman. And he also kind of tells that, you know, he considers everybody family still. So that's awesome to hear. But to go into it, not to spoil it. Yes, Gozer is, again, the big bad, just like in the first movie. Gozer was the big bad, and Zool was the big bad. I don't think it was the original actress that played Gozer in this, and even though the actress looks similar to the original, but the person, if it's not the same actress, she is close enough to the original to almost look, whoa, she looks almost exactly like the original actress. And it made me wonder if she was the original actress or not. But they, with modern technology, if you've seen the first movie, you'd know it, how her Gozer looks and all that. It wasn't overwhelming. It was there. It was a nice costume. It was wonderfully done. But with this movie, they kind of upped her. They made it her look more threatening, more powerful. In this movie, she was more powerful. Gozer and Zool was more powerful. And that was great to see that, to kind of using modern effects to kind of show how much more powerful she is, and that she's more of a threat in this one, even though a lot of it seemed a lot of the same beats from the last one. That's good. And it was nice to see that having Harold Ramis, a.k.a. Egon, appear in this film without actually... I'm not going to say how. I'm not going to spoil it. Having, in essence, Egon in the movie without actually having Egon in the movie. That was wonderful. It was beautiful how they did it. To have his physical presence in it, they kind of used a body double and had that body double in shadow, which kind of, at the beginning, to kind of foreshadow the event and everything else and set up the story and set up, you know, how, you know, the kind of the threat. And having Ivan Reitman's son, a part of this, kind of mimicking the original, how the original was, having it mostly a horror aspect with comedy elements thrown in, not leaning too heavy on the comedy, but allowing it to be there to kind of soften the mood. That is wonderful. The story overall follows, it does, you see it in the trailer, it follows Egon's daughter and her kids. So the story follows mostly Egon's grandkids, Egon's youngest granddaughter, Phoebe, is pretty much the Egon. She's very science-oriented, very logic, has that almost that same personality. I didn't catch the older sibling's name, but it was played by one of the kids from Stranger Things. So it was nice to see him being in a more predominant role, more Hollywood role outside of Stranger Things. And he became more of the Peter character in this, if you want to correlate with the original movie, where he kept his cool. He was, even though he showed signs of the close to aspects of the element of a little bit Ray, meaning working on the car, being more of a technical, you know, hands-on type of person, but he's the kind of the person that always kept the cool, you know, I'm the cool guy. I gotta get things done. I gotta keep everybody together, the glue. While his sister, Phoebe, was the brains, the IQ, the brave. This was something that even I could say, yes, it was geared towards the girls being in STEM, being smart, being, it could be said that it was pushing that aspect without actually pushing that aspect, which is fine, which is great. This is, in essence, something I approve of. It was pushing that without actually pushing that. In this, it's like, because there has to be a fourth, there was the aspect of the sheriff's daughter, where the older sibling, falls for and wants to date and see, was, in essence, please, I do apologize for this, becomes a token African-American character, but she fits very well in this, that she becomes part of the group because she's curious. She's interested, and she's not part of the group without being part of the group. She asks questions. It wasn't how a lot of things... she became, in essence, a Winston character, where she wants to know, she wants to help, she wants to be a part of it. It wasn't seemingly forced into the movie at all. And as per the Ray-type aspect, or the Ray character, the character that's Hart, I didn't quite catch the character's real name, but he called himself Podcaster. He became the Ray character in all sense of the word. Regards to bring heart, bring the spiritual, you know, the believer in ghosts and the paranormal. He was the Ray character in every sense of the word. And he might have had better equipment than I do right now. So, there was, again, a lot of nods to, other than the car, which we see in the movie, the original Ecto-1, with maybe a few bit of enhancements. But it was nice to see, in a way, that, again, spoilers, that the ghost of Egon, in essence, helps Phoebe with everything, and kind of leading her in regards to the believing a ghost and something odd's going on. That it's like, wait a minute, something's up, something's odd, maybe I should pay attention to this. Regards to, even though Paul Rudd might say he was the Peter aspect of this, but they played him more up as to the character, I forgot his name, in the original, he was kind of like the accountant. He was kind of like that. I think his name was Sully. But let me bring it up on the tablet. In regards to, put down my notes and bring it up on the tablet. Regards to everything. If he wants to show back up, I got to type it in, folks, because, well, let me see. Let's bring it up, folks. Let's bring up Ghostbusters on the original search for, well, no, I didn't want to close it out. Folks, this is the habit of a lot of tablets. They have a lot of search stuff near the bottom part of the tablet or the, let's see, oh, there we go. The character I'm talking about is Rick Moranis, Louis Tully. I was about to say Sully. Paul Rudd was pretty much the Tully. He was a smarter, more competent version of Tully in regards to this. Yet he almost had a Peter Venkman aspect. Like I said, there was nods to, like, a Twinkie in the glove compartment, the music cues, a lot of that was there, and there was a kind of a zombie or a bones guy in the diner when things were going down, a lot of nods, and like the photos, like I said earlier, and Stay Puft, the Marshmallow Man, and all that, all the nods. Even this movie had its own version of Slimer, which is a way, it wasn't Slimer, but a version of Slimer, which is a wonderful saying. We're making an homage to Slimer without there actually being a Slimer, because that would probably have been pushing things too far. It was called, I think they called that particular ghost called Metal Muncher, and he actually has a role in the movie, so, or in regards to that. Like I said, they did a wonderful job with the pacing, setting things up, and going step by step. And in regards to some of the, like, whoa, there was this. Yeah, there was, they used Paul Rudd's position as a science teacher, or a teacher in general, to kind of explain things or work things out with Phoebe, and everything else. They did, you expected certain things or things to go one way, and yet they went a different way when you see the movie. I loved it, and they did, with the second post-credit scene, it set up a sequel. Will there be a sequel? I don't know. I don't think so. But this is a great starting point. This, like I said, this I enjoyed it. I had some laughs. There was a wonderful aspects to it. Again, a lot of it was an homage to the original first movie, and it linked the first movie a lot. Like the whole aspect of the mine, this being a mine town, a former mine town, and the stuff that was mined being used in the original building. So it was like paying a lot of homages to the first movie as a way of saying we are a sequel to the first movie and that this is a handoff movie. And the cameos by Dan Aykroyd kind of setting things up. The first cameo was Amy Potts' original as a secretary. I think her name was Mule. Again, let's pull it up. Amy Potts. She was. Let's see here. Sorry about this, folks. But her character was Janine. As Janine, but the second cameo, full cameo, before we got to see Winston and Peter, was Dan Aykroyd. He kind of fills in the history of what happened between everybody. What happened after the first Ghostbusters. At least in this universe. And everything was well done. And I'm not going to go into the ending because I don't want to do that. I want you all to go see this movie. They did a wonderful job as a sequel. And one thing that I think it was Dan Aykroyd, him as Ray, or it was Peter, Bill Murray's character as Peter, going up to Phoebe and just pretty much saying, "Yeah, we're from the home office. How you doing? Glad you're here. Glad you're doing what you're doing. We're here to help you." That little bit of nod that he wasn't taking, none of the old folks were taking, or the old crew was taking away from anything that Phoebe and the new crew was doing, just that they're there to help. That's it. They're there to help. And just to be there for that cameo and help out, this was the younger generation's time to shine. And let's hope to say that, let's see if this actually does have a sequel. I would love to see the sequel because, again, this is not spoiling anything, but the Ecto-1 returns home to in essence, the fire station, the original headquarters for the Ghostbusters. We see that in the second end credit scene. And you see Winston kind of, tap the hood of the car saying, "Welcome home, you're home now." And next thing you know, we see going downstairs to where the original containment unit is and the light is blinking that it's on, as to hint to something still in that containment unit. What it is, no one knows. Or what is in there, no one knows. It could be, heck, it could be Gozer. I'm not going to say what happens, but everything was done wonderfully. It was beautiful. Some could say it was similar to the latest in the Star Wars trilogy, the one that was first out, that it was like, oh, you could say it was point for point in regards to I think it was Force Awakens, how a lot of folks in regards to that movie said it was point for point like the original Star Wars movie. But yeah, you could argue that point as well. But it didn't fully rely on the original, just that it touched on it, saying, hey, we are a brand new thing, this is new aspect, and that the whole aspect was, even though the Ghostbusters in the first movie, I'm talking Egon, Peter, Winston, and Ray, stopped the event from happening, they didn't stop it. It's more or less a best way to put it, like a Terminator aspect, where they stopped it from happening. They didn't, even though they stopped it, they just prolonged the inevitable. regards to everything. They've just put it up. Whether there be another event or make a homage to the second movie, we don't know. We won't know. We'll have to see the numbers in the upcoming days or weeks. Usually, Thanksgiving's a very big event. I know a lot of people went to see it. I don't know the numbers right now. I'm hoping the numbers are good. There's been a lot of positive press out of this from fans in regards to this. Somehow, the professional reviewers, the ones that out there that are giving this a bad review, loads of bad reviews, are saying it. The main thing that they're saying is reliant on very hard nostalgia. There's a lot of nods. No, there wasn't that very nods to. Some could say they were nods to, but those are looking way too into a lot of stuff in regards to everything. But there wasn't that many nods to the original. If it was, the whole thing would have taken place in New York, and everything would have folded out the same way. But I'm dragging on, I'm ranting, I'm raving. For right now, let me just say, let me check my notes to see if there has been anything else I am forgetting. Talked about the two. Let me just say this. Depends on your theater. I know Berkeley, the one I go to, Berkeley Theaters, has a tendency to shut things off once the credits roll. So depending on your theater, there could be one or two credit scenes or both credit scenes being shown. Again, we talked about that. Let me just say this because I forgot to tell this. There's a scene where when Phoebe first finds Egon's workshop in the farm, you see a bunch of basically, again, it's a nod to the first movie when Janine asks Egon what he does, what he's into. And he says, I collect spores, molds, and fungus. And there is a wide collection in the workshop, in essence, Egon's workshop, of spores, molds, and fungus. So that was a fun little... you saw it, if you didn't watch the first movie, you would have blatantly, like, why is there a bunch of spores, molds? Like, why are there mushrooms, and why are there, like, all these petri dishes? Yeah, there's spores, molds, and fungus. In essence, referring to Egon's hobby. I said there was a lot done well in this, and I will say this. I enjoyed it. I recommend this. I'm going to give it at least an 8 out of 10. I had a good time. I would have given it a 9 if I was able to get some extras or there were theater exclusives in this. But let me speak on that. A lot of people are... I think the exclusives are going for high-end on eBay. I don't know. But on that note, I'm going to head on out. You could always find us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/... The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Find us on YouTube by searching for Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Subscribe to our channel there, because sometimes you are able to find videos exclusive to our YouTube channel, and like us on Facebook, because sometimes we put videos exclusive to Facebook as well. And that way you're able to, and folks, you're able to listen to our podcast now on Facebook. So you're able to subscribe. If you like us on Facebook, you're able to catch us episodes on there, as well as catch our episodes on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Pandora, apparently, and many other platforms. We're on Twitter if we ever post and hang out on there. We're on Instagram. Both our Twitter and our Instagram handles are Long Coat Mafia, all one word. Like I said, we're subscribed to our YouTube channel. We've been posting up videos there like crazy. We've blown away our previous record of videos for the year have been like 52, 53 videos. We're up to close to 60 this year. What are them odds? So go there, check us out. We've been posting unboxings and walkthroughs and everything else. Go there and check us out. Subscribe to us. Help us hit that 100 subscriber goal so we can get that custom URL. And that way we can get a better goal of maybe 150, 200, or 1,000 so we can become monetized. So check us out. As always, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Find us on our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, the word the is a part of it. You can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And if you like us on Facebook, share our posts because that helps us in the algorithmic aspects of things because Facebook hates indie creators, y'all. So like us on Facebook, share our stuff, help us. I don't like using the whole aspect of fan because that's a burnout world. You become a part of the mobs by subscribing to us and liking us on Facebook and on YouTube. That's right. And that being said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to grab myself some dinner, watch some YouTube, maybe watch either Ghostbusters or Ghostbusters 2. And you know what? I'm going to say here, depending on when you listen to this, if you're still listening to this at the end of 2021, may you have a happy, if you celebrate it, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or whatever holidays you're into in your neck of the woods, or whatever you celebrate this time of year, or whenever you listen to this, may you have a happy holiday, or happy weekend, or Monday, or whatever you choose to do. So, that being said, I am the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here. Don't forget to check out, if you missed an episode, to check us out on our local distributors. Thank you so much. Good night.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.